This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Shelby Lynn started her recording career in country music. She got off to a promising start in 1988, recording a duet with country star George Jones. Then she made a couple of country albums, followed by albums of Western swing and torch songs. But not much happened with her albums or her career. She's changed direction on her new CD, I Am Shelby Lynn, and now her career is taking off. The recording is a hybrid of country, rock, and southern soul. In the LA Times, it was described as a contender for Album of the Year. In Entertainment Weekly, the CD was described as living up to the description that Tammy Wynette once gave of Lynn, the best voice in country music. Before we meet Shelby Lynn, let's hear a track. This is a song she co-wrote with her producer, Bill Bottrell. It's called Why Can't You Be?
Scared of loving 'cause it might feel good. You wanna get it like you know you should. What the hell's wrong with living without the blues? You stand convicted. You stand accused. You're so conflicted and abused.
I want to welcome you to Fresh Air. Shelby Lynn, what's behind the change in direction in this album?
I wrote all of the songs, first of all. Mm-hmm. Big change from my early career where I just recorded songs that were submitted to me. That's kind of the Nashville way. And I really wasn't interested in doing a lot of songwriting at that time. So after making 5 records in Nashville, I just wanted to change. I wanted to do something different.
So how did you start heading in a new direction? What steps did you take?
Well, the songs started coming, really, on their own. And they weren't really Nashville material. And I didn't have a clue what I was going to be doing with them. But they were coming. And I just eventually, you know, after spending 6 more months in Nashville, after living there off and on for 8 years or so, I just decided I would move back to Alabama and find my roots again and hopefully find someone that would want to do a record with me that understood making something real.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I was interested in working with Bill Bottrell, and I sought him out, and he was interested, and his wife found I sent her a demo, actually, I had made in my living room, and she heard it and liked it. So she talked him into having a meeting, and then we hooked up and started working immediately.
And Bill Bottrell had produced Sheryl Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said this is the first album where you were actually writing the songs yourself. Did you think of yourself as a songwriter before?
No, not like I do. You know, I guess I'm a songwriter now, but, you know, I just never really put much emphasis into it because I've always kind of been a singer first and a performer, but I couldn't help it. The songs just kind of wanted to come out, and it was a natural thing, so it had to be done, I guess.
Now, how did you and your producer, Bill Bottrell, think through what kind of production style you wanted for the new CD?
Well, we just took it song by song, because they're all different, and let the music find its way, really. I mean, every cut started out with the vocal and my guitar, and then we built a record around it, you know, and it just kind of took shape as we went along. We never had any plans making the record at all. We just wanted each individual song to have its own life.
Let's listen to another track from I Am Shelby Lynn. This is I Thought It Would Be Easier, written by Shelby Lynn and Bill Bottrell.
Thought I could pull myself together and do fine on my own. Sometimes I do all right, then I remember how I dreamed it, how I needed it. I thought it would be easier. I thought it would be easier. Told me I'd be lonely, torn up and wasted. But when you saw something else you liked, you couldn't wait to taste it. How was I to know about the way you were scheming? I guess I must have been dreaming. I thought it would be easier.
Music from the new CD by my guest Shelby Lynn. You grew up in Alabama in a small town. Would you describe the town for us?
Well, there's no town.
It's, it's too small to be a town.
There is no town there. It's 30 minutes from anything. There was one little general store market type vibe where we could get gas and things like that. But I grew up in the woods, pine trees and a lot of land, always some animals around. And my family, which consisted of my mother, my father, and my sister. So that was it, and a lot of music. So that's, I'm not kidding, it's the middle of nowhere, population about, maybe 700 by now.
What was the school like where you went to?
It was about, 30 minutes away. And my mother would drive us halfway and where a school bus would pick us up. And we'd ride into town. And sometimes we'd ride home with her from work. And we sang together in the car. And that's how we learned to sing harmony together. And, it was kind of that way, Not much city folk where I'm from.
What kind of songs did you sing in the car?
Oh, we would do everything from Everly Brothers to old 40s pop and Bob Wills songs and anything that was current on the radio that we liked,
Did your mother ever perform?
Oh, nothing professional, but she was a pretty good singer and good looking and played a little guitar and, just pretty talented, pretty well-rounded as far as knowing what was the difference between good music and bad music. I'm proud to say that she taught me that.
Your father was a teacher, and I think he did do some performing, music.
Yeah,
performing.
He always had kind of a honky-tonk band. He was a guitar picker, and yes, he was a school teacher, an English teacher. Graduated from Auburn University and taught some school and picked up the guitar and about when I was 7, he taught me 3 chords, and I learned the rest on my own.
Now, could you see any national performers when you were growing up? Were there any venues for them to play?
Mobile, Alabama was closest we could get to anything that was big enough city to, maybe see a concert. And, I was old for so a concert. Old meaning probably 14 or something. And that was like a Reba McEntire concert or something, Mobile. So it was hard to get out of those woods, but now growing up, I miss them sometimes.
You were born in 1968. In the 60s, there was the whole like Muscle Shoals scene in Alabama, a recording mm-hmm. studio where a lot of people, including Aretha Franklin, came
right.
to perform. And I'm wondering if there was anything left of that when you were growing up or whether you were too remote from it to matter anyways.
I think I was too far away from it. I don't know anything about that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle Shoals, it's got a history, but I don't know anything about it. My goal was to get to Nashville and be, Tammy Wynette as soon as I could get there.
You got to Nashville.
Yeah.
At, what, age 18?
18, yeah.
And you were on a talent show. I haven't seen the show called Nashville Now.
It's not a talent show. Actually, it's one of, like, a country variety show
thing. Oh, okay.
Where he would interview stars, and then, you know, that's kind of the show to be on in Nashville at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I had done a demo, and they put me on just by hearing a demo, and, you know, got laryngitis and got a record deal.
You had laryngitis while you performed?
Yeah, can you believe it? I think I got so nervous. Everything flipped out on me, but Billy Sherrill was watching, and then he wanted to do a record with me, so I said, okay, I have time. Quite a dream.
Well, Billy Sherrill had produced George Jones and Charlie Rich.
Right, right. Tammy Wynette. Tanya Tucker. Tons of great, great country pop music.
What did he hear for you? What kind of arrangements did he make for you? What kind of songs did you get?
Well, we did a couple of covers, old type tunes. The record I made with Billy was really kind of old-fashioned, you know. It kind of had an old Nashville feel. So when I turned it into the record company, which was CBS at the time, they said, this won't do. It's too old-fashioned. So now we need to put some pop cheese on here. So they changed producers on me, and Billy's work is on the first album. But they were never singles or anything like that. So you know what I mean? It was kind of, I knew at that time, being it was my first record, I knew that it was going to be totally different than I'd ever imagined it, because it wasn't really about the music, it was about the hits, and, you know, I immediately started bucking the system.
So you were unhappy with the way it sounded?
Well, it was, you know, little dinky songs about secretaries, and I'm not really interested in that kind of thing. So it made me mad, and I've been trying to live up to my reputation ever since.
So what did you do when you got mad? Did you complain to the record company, or?
There's no telling, you know, with all the stories I'm beginning to even believe them. Some of those stories they've said about, you know, they've said terrible things, like I've pulled guns on people. That's so crazy. But no, you know, I don't have a problem letting anyone that's supposed to be working with me know that I'm unhappy about something if I am, because there's no need in wasting time, not with what I do.
Now, you've had, I think, 5 country CDs before your new CD.
Right.
And on the photograph of each of the album jackets, you're a little different.
Yes.
What are some of the different images you've had on your album covers?
Well, you know, I don't believe in images, but I think it's about a gal that started out making records at 18, who's just pretty still, you know, pretty much an infant still to be in the music business. And on all of these album covers, I've watched myself grow into a woman that I finally like. So it just happens to be out there for the public to see, you know. Unfortunately, you know, hairstyles do change.
My guest is Shelby Lynn. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Shelby Lynn. She has a new CD called I Am Shelby Lynn. She grew up in Alabama and started her recording career in Nashville when she was 18. I guess you're one of the people who didn't grow up in a band that played the local bars or Holiday Inns dances.
No, not really. I was too young. By the time I had got to Nashville, I still wasn't old enough to get in bars. So, it was a good thing I had a record deal, I guess.
but that means that you started performing professionally without any, like, high school prom kind of experience or Holiday Inn kind of experience. It must have been terrifying.
Oh, no, I've never been terrified. I did all of my rehearsing at home in front of a mirror with a hairbrush. So it was kind of a natural thing. I was ready to do it all my life. I mean, I've just been waiting. I had been waiting and waiting. There was nothing else in the cards for me.
So you had enough confidence just from...
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that you had it in you.
Yes. Yeah, I had done, you know, maybe a school talent show or two, you know, but I'm talking maybe one or two. There weren't many. And we have these things back home called Fiddler's Conventions. And it's all acoustic music, mainly bluegrass music, and... my sister and I would enter, like, the vocal group competition and sing together, and I would be like 9 and she'd be like 5, and I'd play a ukulele guitar, and we'd sing Blue Suede Shoes and Tea for Texas and stuff like that. But that was about all the performance experience I had ever had. I just knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Would you feel
I had to do it?
Would you feel like doing a few bars from one of those songs?
Well, it would go like this. Very simple.
Tea for Texas, tea for Tennessee. Tea for Texas, tea for Tennessee. Tea for Thelma, a gal who made a wreck out of me. Well, I'm going where the water tastes like cherry wine. I'm going where the water tastes like cherry wine. 'Cause the Georgia water, it tastes like turpentine. All women make a fool out of me.
That would be about it.
I was waiting to see if you're going to do the yodel or not.
I never was much of a yodeler.
That's a great Jimmy Rogers song. Did you grow up listening to a lot of his stuff?
Well, yeah, I love Jimmy Rogers and Hank Williams and Bob Wills, and that is what we grew up around, yeah.
So did you have mostly country radio where you were, country radio stations?
The only station we could pick up was about 60 miles away. So, yeah, we had a...
The only station?
Well, country station.
Okay.
We had other stations, too, but we didn't really listen to it. My sister did, and then I got into it sometime. I don't remember when. But I was always been a country listener because I wanted to perform it, and that's what I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. You know? So what's it like now that, you know, you spent so much of your life wanting to perform country music, you gave it a shot and decided that that wasn't really you after all, and what you're doing is more of a hybrid now?
Yeah, well... I think I just realized that I would have to do country music outside of where I was because I don't really hear a lot of country music too much anymore, and I feel like that there's a song on my new album, that's more country than anything I ever cut. So I'm always doing country music. I just mix it in with my soul music and everything else I like too. You know, it's good to have the freedom to not have to do a certain kind of thing, because I hate boxes.
Which is the song that you think of as more country than any of your previous country songs?
On this album?
Yeah.
It would be Looking Up. I probably Looking Up.
Would you do a few bars of that?
Sure, let's do a few bars of it. Smoking and thinking of things to do since you're gone. Sitting lonely, can't even get stoned. Taking a breath of a feeling that once lived in this house. Laughing and dying at the mirror in the hall, talking to myself, a memory don't remember at all, babe. The last thing you told me was the first thing that brought on these clouds. I'm looking up for the next thing that brings me down. Ooh, oh yeah. Yeah, it's probably the countryest thing on the record these days.
Well, the hook is very country. I'm looking up for the next thing that brings me down.
Yes.
But, you know, you don't have a country arrangement for it.
Well, I guess, I don't know, you know, Jimmy Webb's a big influence on my songwriting, I appreciate the way he puts a lyric down, but his melodies are so great. So I have to say that we had those melodies in mind with this tune here.
Shelby Lynn will be back in the second half of the show. Her new CD is called I Am Shelby Lynn. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with singer-songwriter Shelby Lynn. Her new CD, I Am Shelby Lynn, is a hybrid of country, rock, and southern soul. She grew up in Alabama and started her recording career in Nashville. Before you moved to Nashville when you were about 18, there was a tragedy in your family that I know you don't like to talk about. Your parents, who were divorced, were having a big fight, and your father came by the house, shot and killed your mother, and then used that gun to kill himself. You and your sister saw it happen. I'm wondering if that made you feel like it was necessary to move. You know, you went to Nashville not long after that. Did that make you feel like you had to start a new life?
No, I mean, I just, you know, what do? You do what you have to do. You wake up and you get up and you walk around. There's no plans. Who the hell makes plans after that?
Like, you saw this happen. Did you... You and your sister were teenagers. Did you know what to do? Who to call?
You know, all I know is we did it. We survived. We are survivors. It's no big deal. I mean, it's over with. It's so old and it's so gone, mm-hmm. and it is with me. But, you know, I can't change any of it. And I don't know what... I mean... How do you know what to do? You just do it.
Did you feel like you understood at all what had come over your father?
No. I mean, I can't understand a man. I can't understand a man's thinking. I don't care if he's your father or not.
Was he drunk
at the time? It's harder to... Pardon me?
Was he drunk at the time?
I don't believe he was. I think that, you know... Maybe people get to a point and they just break.
I think a lot of your fans assume that because this was so horrible and so tragic and because you witnessed it, that it must be the central formative thing that happened to you and that your songs must relate to it and that your emotion when you're singing must relate to it. Do you think that that would be, from what I'm hearing you say, it sounds like you think that that would be a false impression.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody has to... compare anything great with some tragedy. So that's the way it is. I write songs because I'm good at it. I'm a singer because that's what I was born to do. My dead parents don't have anything to do with my songwriting. Now, you know what? I think what happened to me will always be with me, and it has more to do with who I am as a person. But I don't rely on the fact that that terrible thing happened to write songs, because I have my own living to do, and I'm not living through their deaths.
Well, I understand you did write a song called The Sky Is Purple that related to the murder-suicide, but you left it off the album.
Right.
Why'd you leave it off?
Because I don't want to sit here like this and talk about it every time, that's why.
Right, sure, okay. you are singing the John Lennon song, Mother.
Sometimes.
In concert, sometimes you sing it.
Yes.
How did you decide to add that to your repertoire?
I love the song. I'm a John Lennon freak. And, you know, I can relate. So I love the simple content of the song, but the strong, strong message. And it's so personal. And, you know, it's kind of fun to perform it.
It's a real primal scream type of song. How do you handle the screaming without hurting your throat?
I just don't worry about things like that. I just go with feelings, and whatever happens, happens.
Does it hurt your throat?
No. Has it yet?
Good.
Has it yet? It probably hurts a lot of people's ears.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Shelby Lynn, her new CD is called I Am Shelby Lynn. Here's her song, Leaving.
Well, I guess this is it, baby. Reality is at home. No need in putting it off anymore. turn away and let me walk out the door. You thought you had it all figured out, but baby, you don't know what love's about. It's time for me to spend some time alone. I'm tired of trying to make this your happy home. I'm leaving. This time is for good. I'm leaving sad, and you can't make me stay. I'm tired of hurting you. This ain't no good anyway. I'm leaving.